This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who desire to be. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about increasing your income, your productivity, and just generally having a better life while serving your clients better with America's most historically proven asset class, income property. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds. Hey, I thought we'd do something a little different today. We've done it before, and this is really not an interview per se. It's just a conversation, and you, our dear listeners, get to be a fly on the wall where we just chatting with my friend Justin Williams, who is a real estate guru of a different sort than I. So we kind of have different philosophies, different experience, and we thought you'd just want to maybe eavesdrop on our conversation and kind of hear how we talk amongst ourselves. Justin, how you doing?
What's up, Jason? How you doing?
Hey, doing well. So we were going to do two interviews today where you were going to interview me and I was going to interview you, and we'd put those on our respective podcast. But, you know, we thought we'd just do just a little kind of breakfast club conversation.
Put it out there.
Yeah. So, hey, what's your background? When did you get involved in real estate? And what did you do first? Were you a flipper, a buy and hold guy? Like, what's your thing?
Short story is I've been an entrepreneur for 11 years, which is basically my whole life since I dropped out of college. I had a business for 2 years. After a year, had $120,000 debt in that business. Took me a year to get out of that debt, got into real estate at that time. So that was about 9 years ago. Took me 7 months to get my first deal. A lot of hard work. Closed my first deal finally. Took me a couple months to close another deal after that. Did pretty well for a couple of years. And then in 2010, a lot of things had changed. We moved, the market was changing, and found ourselves just not in a great place, having a hard time paying the bills. Decided to get a bunch of rental properties. Did that at the end of 2010 to the beginning of 2011 and run out of money and decided I had to flip some of those. So I sold some of those, made a pretty decent amount of income from that, and then just started my flipping machine from then on out. Did 60 houses in 2011, 120 in 2012, and the rest is history. I've been doing about 100 ever since.
The flipping machine. I love it. I love it. This machine keeps flipping over, folks. That's what it does. Hey, so where were you doing your deals? You're in my old hometown. You're in Orange County, California, I know.
Yeah.
Where are you? Like San Juan Capistrano?
I live in San Clemente.
San Clemente. Okay. Yeah. Close enough. Where were you doing your deals?
Not in San Clemente. I'm doing, last year we bought homes in about 10 different states. I don't recommend that for people, but I'm totally cool with going to a different state. I don't go look at any of my houses. So I just buy where it makes sense. We buy a lot of the houses inland from us. We do some in LA County, some in San Diego County, very few in Orange County, but most of them Riverside and San Bernardino County. And then we also are doing deals in Utah, New Mexico, Texas. Where else are we? Sometimes I don't even know.
Yeah, I always say that I've owned properties in 11 states, maybe actually a little more now because I've, well, yeah, because I added, believe it or not, Justin, I added Michigan. I kind of can't believe that. I never thought I'd do that. But but man, the deals are good. In one of these markets, Grand Rapids specifically, I wouldn't touch Detroit still even now. I say to my listeners, that was one of my mistakes. I just over-diversified. It's too much to keep track of. You know, you want to, I always say be in three markets as a minimum. Of course, my philosophy, I'll tell my story in a moment, is the more buy and hold philosophy. So you've got two different ideologies of real estate discussing this here, and no more than five markets. I think that's the most, you know, can really kind of like keep track of things, because after that it gets kind of unwieldy. And I think that's what you were meaning, right?
Yeah, I think that's good, because what happened is a couple years ago, I purchased in another state and it went really well. And then I ended up buying another state, even better. And so I just started going, any house that I could find in any state, I would buy. And the law of diminishing returns, right? After a while, I just noticed that even though we were still making money altogether, when I looked at all my deals, the ones that weren't very profitable, some of them were in some of these random states that I wasn't that familiar with. We just thought, after looking at everything last year, we're like, okay, what if we were to still buy multiple states, but take off the worst seven, yeah, just right. Focus on the top three.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been doing this year. And it's proven to work out really well.
That's a good idea. Well, hey, since I kind of started out interviewing you, I'll jump in and tell my story, because I don't even know if your listeners are listening to this and they don't even know who's talking.
Oh, and what's funny is you and I have, you know, we've met several times. We're in two mastermind groups together. Right. And I don't really even know your background per se. I know you have like a million podcasts and like you have a lot of buy and holds. You do a lot of deals, but Yeah, let's hear it.
Different background. So I'm Jason Hartman. I got my real estate license when I was 19 years old. I bought my first rental property in Huntington Beach, California when I was 20 years old. And I've been buying properties ever since. I love real estate. I think income property is the most historically proven asset class in the entire world. It's accessible to most people. You don't have to be a bigwig to play in it. And we all know people, Justin, who started with very little money and made fortunes in real estate. Yet, I bet none of your listeners or my listeners know anybody who's done that in the stock market, you know?
Yeah.
And so my thing, you know, I've kind of done a lot of things. And that's the great thing about the world of real estate. There's so many different ways to approach it. You can flip properties. You can be a wholesaler. You can be a buy and hold guy. You can be a developer. You can invest in notes or do hard money loans. There are just an endless, and there's probably a dozen more things I didn't mention, but there's just a lot of creativity in our business, and I love that. But the thing I've kind of settled on over the years, maybe just because I'm getting a little conservative and lazy over the years, is just the buy and hold properties. I just love these buy and hold rental properties. And I always noticed I had a lot of clients who were flippers who would buy properties from me and fix them and flip them. And I'd see the money they'd make because I'd resell them for them afterwards. You know, mm-hmm. I always thought these guys seem to have like spending money. But when I ever met some older guy that had been buying and holding for years, he was like the wealthy guy. So maybe that's what kind of convinced me. But it depends how you do it and how you flip. And you can speak to that more than I have because you have much more flipping experience than I do. But I talk about ROI, and our clients just want to get a good return on investment. They want to deploy capital. They've got corporate jobs. They've got businesses. They don't have time to pay a lot of attention to this stuff. They're just looking to get, you know, 20, 30% annually on their portfolio. And you can really do that because income property is a multi-dimensional asset class. And that's what I love about it. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell. I started because I was 16 and I saw a real estate guru on an infomercial. And that got me interested, although those guys are kind of cheesy.
Yeah. Hey, but that's kind of how I got started as well. Yeah. I mean, the guy basically took advantage of me, owes me a car, never gave it to me. But I'm like, you know what? The guy helped me get started. So what am I going to do, right?
How does he happen to owe you a car?
Well, we... Okay, how to explain this? Basically, my wife and I paid him like 15 grand to join his program. Today, that would be like 40 grand, right?
Right. Adjusted for inflation.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. We found out later on that he hadn't actually been doing real estate for like 6 years. But part of the thing was, if you're the best student that year, you win a car. Mm. And we won a car like the year later, we went to the seminar, we spoke. It was like us and two finalists. We won by a landslide. Everyone was cheering. He gave me a trophy with like a picture of him by the car.
Now I remember you told me this story.
Yeah. Okay. Said he would send it. And like days later, never came. Months later, never came. Never sent it. We kept following up. And
you gonna mention his name?
Oh, Mark Sumter. I'll say it. I don't care.
Mark Sumter?
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And he's not really around very much anymore. I don't hate the guy. I hope he hears me talking about him someday and reaches out and like makes things right. I don't even care if he gives me the car. Yeah. Just reach out and admit you did something wrong or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, come on the podcast. Right. I don't care. It'll make for a great story. So
yeah, totally. Totally. Good stuff. So what kind of car was it? Was it a good car?
It was a Chrysler 300. So nothing too fancy. Too crazy. It wasn't like a Ferrari or anything like that. But yeah, nice car. And at the time, that was a big deal for us, right?
Sure. So, yeah. But, yeah. Definitely.
But, you know, we didn't waste a lot of time with that. We just went out and did a couple more deals and we were able to buy our own cars. So
my company helps people buy properties nationwide in markets that we recommend. We like these linear markets that you know those all too well, that are just kind of the conservative things that just plug along and do their thing. And you're more in the education business than I am. You're really doing a lot of like info products and home study courses and things like that, right? Tell us a little bit about it.
So our flagship program is House Flipping Formula. And it basically, the whole focus is teaching people how to create a successful house flipping or wholesaling business. And it's kind of interesting, as you mentioned, and I've had lots of discussions and I've seen conversations and almost fights break out over what's better, right? Flipping or holding. And what I've come to the conclusion of is that's like saying what's better, like this restaurant or that restaurant, right?
No. You really could have used a better comparison.
Okay, my wife always teases me with audience, my analogies. What's a good analogy?
I'll tell you what's better. The question is, what's better, blondes or brunettes? Okay, see, there we go.
There we go.
It's the age-old debate.
Yeah, but it's so funny because I'm like, you guys, like, it totally depends. And so, some of the things that you mentioned, if someone's a professional making good income, I'm like, okay, yeah, going out and creating a house and business, like that's a job. And don't get me wrong.
It's a business, yeah. It can be a very good one, but it's a business. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. You can do that on the side. I'm not saying you can't. I have plenty of students who do. But let's say you have a good income and you work a lot and you don't want to work more. I tell people, yeah, then rental properties might make sense. And working with someone like Jason or in an area where you have good returns, unlike California, that could make a lot of sense. And then if you have a lot of time and you're up for creating some systems, like I have a passive house flipping business, believe it or not. I don't look at my houses. I don't spend a lot of time on my house flipping business. I have created those systems. I've hired the people who run that machine for me and created the systems for them to manage. But that takes time to get there, right? So it depends on everyone's circumstance. I mean, if you are determined that you are going to be holding properties in a certain part of California and you want this certain amount of cash flow and you want to do it this way, okay, well, good luck with that, right? So it really depends on your circumstance and what your goals are. For me personally, I love flipping because it's made me a lot of money and it's made it quickly, but that's not always the case for everyone.
And tell us about some of those systems you've implemented. I mean, what have you done to make it easier?
Where do I begin? This could be an hour.
Well, give us like, what's your top one or two systems?
So to me, everything in real estate, especially flipping and wholesaling, all comes down to acquisitions, really. If you buy right and you know how to buy properties and you're able to buy a lot of them at good discounts, you can be an incredibly successful real estate investor. The rest will kind of take care of itself. The money isn't all that difficult to find. The rehabbing isn't all that hard. You can wholesale if you want. So kind of the way, a simple analogy is, if you want to catch a fish and you go out wherever you'd like to fish and it takes you an hour to catch one fish, all you need is multiple lines in the water. So that's kind of the number one thing I do, is I make sure I have multiple lines in the water. I have several people out looking for me. If it's just me in the weeds, if it's me every day waking up and looking on the MLS or taking calls from sellers, that's not going to get me very far. So you need to make sure you have other people doing the legwork for you on your acquisitions. Actually, right now, I don't look at properties at all. But back in the day when I started to streamline this process, I would not look at a house until it was either under contract or we had a very strong counter that my assistant or someone working on my team thought looked like it would be a good deal. And then I would look at it. And that saved me like 95% of the time that I was spending trying to weed through all the stuff, right? So that's one thing. When it comes to rehabbing, I let my agents do most of the work. When I say most of the work, I let them work with the contractors. They will get rid of all of our, when we have a property that's occupied by a tenant, they meet with them, they do the cash for keys, they work with them to get them out. They work with the contractor to make sure the project has been completed from A to Z. They handle a lot of that for us. When we work with contractors, we only work with general contractors. We don't work with subcontractors. We use a price list, which basically, so for example, if they're painting a house, it's a 1,500 square foot home, they already know what they're going to get paid ahead of time based on the square footage of that home. So for paint, we pay $1.20 per square foot. So it's already pre-taken care of. It allows us to work with contractors without getting multiple bids. They know exactly what they're getting paid. We know exactly what we're paying them. Things like that. I feel like I'm kind of getting into a little bit, but not totally, because I can go on and on about the different systems that we've implemented for that.
Sure, yeah.
But it's just about removing yourself from the equation and finding all the things that take a lot of time and trying to remove those things.
Sure. So you have a bunch of contacts with real estate agents in the different markets around the country that you like, and they bring you properties, right? And then you evaluate whether or not you want to do the deal, and they help you manage the rehab of those properties. Is that correct?
Yes, to a degree. We don't do work with agents in that regard as much as we used to. In some parts of the country, we still do, and we still buy from wholesalers. But that is essentially, a couple years ago, the main focus of what we're doing. I have one agent that I've done 200 deals with in that exact way. But as the MLS has become more competitive, last year we focused a lot working with wholesalers. And this year we've kind of amped up our marketing efforts more than previous. So it's always changing. You know, when I started, I was doing short sales. After that, I was doing REOs and trustee sales. Then we started working with agents, buying off the MLS. And then we started buying from wholesalers, and now we're back to kind of direct marketing.
Are you doing a lot of direct mail? Are you mailing out the little, you know, yellow postcard that everybody uses?
We do a lot of direct mail. We do some bandit signs. We do internet marketing. But as I've become better at, this is something I haven't even like talked about a lot on my podcast even, but as I have become better at marketing online since I've been educating in the past couple of years, I've realized that real estate investors really suck at marketing and their online marketing is horrible as well. And that's kind of our next focus. Actually, just yesterday, I got done talking to my acquisitions manager, and we're just going to focus on really, really dialing in our online marketing efforts. I mean, when I first started educating, like no one was buying my products because I didn't know what I was doing. And now that I've learned a thing or two, I haven't really taken those same things and applied them to my real estate business just because I've been so busy on the other side. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're going to start doing. I just had Kale call like 5 people yesterday who are going to do testimonials for us. So we're going to go, and you can't just capture a testimonial. It's got to be done right. Like I've now learned the right way to get a testimonial. And we're going to just start implementing all these same things that we do in our, you know, education business, in our real estate business.
And I'd like to know about that. Really, you know, in the on the info marketing and the marketing side, I'm terrible at that. I hardly ever ask for testimonials, and it's awful. But we've got tons of happy clients, like thousands of them, you know.
Oh man, it makes all the difference in the world. When I started getting good testimonials and using those in my marketing, I didn't have to like convince people anymore about anything. It's like they would just see it on their own.
Take a moment and share with us how you do that.
So a lot of these things I learned from Russell, and some of them might sound dumb or simple, but when you ask someone for a testimonial, usually you get a video back saying, I like Justin. He was great. And thanks so much. Right. And like, you can't have that. Like what Russell will do is he will fly someone out to his office. This is how important it is. That's all I'm telling you guys.
Yeah.
He will fly them out, put them up in a hotel, hire a professional video guy with 2 screens. They go out, they record it, they professionally edit it, they have music. Like you feel it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can get them to cry, then you're in the money, right? So you don't want it to be fake, but what happens is people, when they're in front of a camera, they get so stiff to where they are like the opposite of real. They're so fake because they're just stiff. So if you can get them comfortable and get them to just share with you their story. So first off, a few tactical things. You don't want to have them look directly at the camera. Have them look to the side and have someone asking them questions. And with those questions, they need to answer in long, full sentences. Like if someone's there asking them, so how did Justin help you out? They can't just say, he did this. And they got to say, Justin came into my life at this time. And, you know, because when you edit out the questions, then you're left with just those answers. So they need to be complete sentences. But the whole idea is talk about where they were, what happened in their life, what struggles they were going through, and then how you were able to help them solve that. So this can be, I don't care what kind of business you have. This can be across the board in your real estate business, an education business or whatever. And if you are able to put those connections and people can see how you change their life, that's all people really want, is they want to change their life. Mm-hmm. So if you can put that in a testimonial and draw some emotion from that and have them talk about what this means for them in their future, then those are really powerful testimonials.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting stuff. That's good. That's good. So a little aside there off the real estate topic. What else do you think we should share with listeners on this chat?
I don't know. Let's maybe talk a little bit about, like, so you and I, we differ a little bit in our philosophy on rental or flip. I think it just depends, right? Your situation. But I think we do both agree on certain, like, business, like, what are some of the things you do in your life, or what is your, I don't know, we could talk like morning, you know, rituals, or like daily, what do you do every day? Like, how are you productive? I know you're killing it. I know you're making a lot of money, right? And I think everyone listening is interested in figuring that kind of stuff out. Like, I've noticed that there's certain principles, certain things that all successful people do. So maybe we could talk about what some
of those things are. I'll tell you, I was on someone else's show earlier today, and I was being interviewed. I do this all the time. I've got a few interviews a week where someone else is interviewing me right on their show. And occasionally I'll play those on one of my shows, those interviews of me, right? What's interesting is that I talked a lot today about the whole importance of business model and really thinking about your business model. Because the reason I started in this business of nationwide real estate investing is I owned a traditional real estate company. It was in Irvine, California, Southern California. And I sold it to Coldwell Banker in 2005. And it took about a year to negotiate that deal. So that all started in 2004. And I knew I'd have a big check coming from the sale. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll just retire. But retirement isn't my kind of thing. You know, I think people really need to be engaged in life and busy and doing things that are productive. Because it's been proven that if you retire, your lifespan will not be that long.
No. Okay. Retirement for you and I is like an automatic guaranteed depression, in my
opinion. Yeah, I'm completely not into the idea of retirement. Okay. It's totally a foreign idea to me. So I thought, you know, well, my first love and the whole reason I got into the real estate business was because I wanted to be an investor. And I had invested all along, all those years since I was 20 years old. But this time I had gone through two cycles in the California market. And I thought, you know, I want to diversify. I want to take the most historically proven asset class, income producing real estate, but diversify geographically. And I kept looking around for someone to help me do that. I would call up real estate agents in these different markets that I would research. And I think, well, you know, maybe Memphis is the place to invest, or Atlanta or Phoenix, or, you know, wherever, right? All the usual suspects that we all talk about. And I couldn't really find anyone to do it. I was literally, Justin, it was hard to get a return phone call. I thought, here I am. I'm an investor. I'm ready to buy. I've got money. It's burning a hole in my pocket. Take my money. Sell me some properties. And these agents were so lame. And it was just really hard to make that happen in any real way and to get any, you know, good on the ground research. And I finally decided what I needed to do. It became really clear to me. I needed to create my own business and become my own first client. And that's exactly what I did. I kept looking around thinking, why is it that there are all these financial services firms? There's Charles Schwab, there's Ameriprise, there's Merrill Lynch, there's all the rest of them. And they're all selling these crappy assets, you know, stocks and bonds, right? Yep. Wall Street is the modern version of organized crime, as I like to say.
Yes, I believe.
But they got, like, the good thing they have is they have such a good sales force and such a good system. But they've got a mediocre to crappy product. And we in real estate, we've got the best product and we've got such a crappy or mediocre sales force most of the time. And so I thought, why can't there be a financial services firm for real estate investors? And so that's when I created that business. And I started buying properties in these different markets around the country. And listen, I learned a lot of lessons, good and bad, okay? It really came down to having market knowledge, but really the most important part was having a good team. And not just having a good team of people on the ground in that market, but being able to exert, and I hate to say it, being able to exert leverage over them. And the leverage, as we've all heard the old saying of the carrot and the stick, right? You know, how do you motivate the horse, the carrot or the stick? Well, you hit him, or you put a carrot in front of him and he'll go forward, right? So in life, let's just be frank, we have to do both, okay? Both are motivators, right? If you can dangle that carrot in front of these different teams of people, we call them local market specialists, of future business, they will work hard for you. They will bend over backwards and they'll go out of their way for you. And until you get that leverage, it's just very, very tough to get anywhere. And so for my business, when it started becoming really successful is when it scaled. And when I had a lot of business and I could bring a lot of business to these different providers, then we could get the best deals, the best prices, and the best service. And that was really the key that made it all work. So that leverage component, super, super important.
Super powerful. I mean, people out there, they can make okay money. They can get by money without leverage, but I don't think there's many people out there that are becoming wealthy and living, you know, a lifestyle they've always dreamed about without leverage, right?
You're absolutely right. In fact, I did a speech, my second largest audience ever, 2,000 people in Las Vegas a couple months ago for a group called Amazing.com. They hired me to do a real estate course for them. And I was the closing keynote speaker. And my talk, I thought, what am I going to talk to these people about? There are all these people that are in the marketing world. They're selling products on Amazon.com. You know, they're all these entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
But the key, no matter what you do in life, the key is getting leverage.
Yeah.
The first person you have to get leverage over is yourself.
Yep.
Okay. And the great Tony Robbins talks a lot about that. How do we get leverage over ourselves to motivate ourselves to do the things we need to do to be successful? And then you've got to get leverage over your time. The technology you use can help bring you leverage. Capital, money can bring you leverage. I just think it's critical. Leverage is like one of the foundational keys.
Whenever we're working with our seven-figure flipping students, which is our high-end mastermind group, the first thing we talk to them about is you have got to put few key people in place. If you are like the one answering the phone, if you are doing all this basic stuff, going to houses, and you are never going to become a millionaire. You're never going to be able to become wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So critical and so hard because it's almost like you have to take a step back to take 10 steps forward. And people,
right,
we're not taught to take a step back. We're taught, no, like you got to stick in there. But when you're training someone, I'm actually coaching someone one-on-one right now in a business that's not even flipping houses, right? This is how the principles in all businesses are the same. I know nothing about her business, but she's seen drastic changes just because of the basic principles we've been talking about. But the main thing that she's been working on lately is just hiring one person who does all the stuff that just takes her a ton of time. That's been so difficult for her. But as she's done it, and gone through the part where she's like, this is crazy. I'm paying this person to train them and to work, spend time with them. I'm like, no, push past this. And as she's done that, it's like these things are now opening up that she never could have done before.
Yeah, that's true. You know, if you have a skill set, there's a danger in having a skill set. You might use it.
Yes.
And in using your skills, you will take yourself away from doing something that could be more productive for you. That's one of the things, like I go on one of these, I won't mention the name, but we both know who I'm talking about. You'll know as soon as I mention it. It's one of these real estate forums where there's all these real estate investors and, you know, they're all talking about stuff. And like what I realized, these are all these like petty, well, not all of them, of course, it's an unfair statement, but a lot of them are like these petty do-it-yourselfers.
Yes.
That are, you know, one dude that's going to flip a house or two every year and buy a rental. And you know, they're just like small thinkers.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible place to spend time. Our clients are definitely not do-it-yourselfers. Our clients, like we offer a done-with-you program. And I think that's just really a key. You know, when you're not a do-it-yourselfer, and maybe you don't have the skills to do it yourself, which might be your best asset, not having the skills, because then you won't use them because you don't have them, right?
I don't know how to flip houses. Right. I don't know how to fix houses or anything.
There you go. Like if you were a good carpenter, right, you would go over and you'd be swinging a hammer. You'd just be tempted to. Yep. It's like, I could just do this myself. And that's the thing. So,
if you go on this so-called forum that you're talking about,
you know,
and look up like 150 flips in 2014 or something like that, you'll see a thread that I started that comes up. And it's very interesting. Let's just say I started this thread with the intent of sharing information with people.
And let me guess, there was a bunch of big arguments and a bunch of naysayers.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Jason, it was the craziest thing in the world. I mean,
I know.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. Of course, my goal is to give as much information and content free as I could so that people could learn more about me and eventually maybe we can work together. But isn't that what everyone does, right? And
yeah,
but I was trying to do it in the most genuine, honest, sincere way I could, give my all. And I had people like ripping my guts out. Like it was... I'm like, oh my gosh, like, and it's just like, this guy is totally lying. There's no way he can do 100 deals in a year.
He's
and I'm
a
like,
fraud. Yeah,
it was crazy. I was like, they're like, prove it to us. And I'm like, dude, I will get on a call with any one of you guys. You can come to my house, but here's the caveat. You have got to allow me to record it. And you've got to admit you are dead wrong. And not one person would take me up on it. Like, I was like, okay, like, this is silly that I feel like I'm being like crucified here, but if that's what you guys want, this is really strange. You could actually just go listen to my podcast and actually get to know me. And instead of just calling me all these names, I'm like, it was the craziest. I kind of avoid that place now.
You know, besides, I think one more thing maybe we should talk about, and you'll have some comments on this. Besides the concept of leverage, which is hugely important, okay? Yeah. There's another concept that I think, and this is philosophical. It's very general what I'm about to say, but it's so important, okay? And that is that people, when they try to fix their life, they keep addressing the content of it. And they don't pay enough attention to the context of it. And I talked a few minutes ago about business model and the importance of having a good business model. And, you know, what that really means is stepping back. And it's like, what is my thing here? The late, great Stephen Covey, I was a huge fan of his work. I read all his books and loved his stuff. That, you know, he's the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Got to meet him once on a cruise ship in Russia and talk to him. And I wish he had stuck around with us a little longer. He passed away. I would have loved to have had him on my show. Just a great guy. And he said, begin with the end in mind.
Yep.
And so when you do that, when you think like that, you're looking at the overall context of what you want to do. And rather than looking at like the content, which is the little stuff, and that's important too, but you can't make as much headway by fixing the content. You know, you can move things around. It's like, oh, I got this deal, I got that deal. But like you said at the beginning, you know, flipping houses is hard. It's complicated. Mm-hmm. It requires a lot of attention. And it wouldn't work for you very well if you didn't set up systems and take that a few steps back so you could take more steps forward ultimately. Yes. And I think a lot of people are in that trap in their lives.
Yeah, kind of along the lines of kind of what you're saying made me think of something else that I think is absolutely essential is clarity and focus. I see so many people, they might listen to you, Jason, or me or someone else, and all of a sudden they're wanting to do this thing and that thing. And I mean, there are a million ways to make $1 million. But if you're not clear on just the very few, it actually takes a very few things that get done consistently and persistently over a long period of time to make you incredibly rich, actually.
Yeah,
but
right.
Most people just cannot do that. They get so distracted with so many things. When this gal that I'm talking about that I'm mentoring right now, she wanted to do her current business that was already somewhat successful, you know, making a 6-figure income already. And she wanted to do wholesaling. And she wanted to do both of them full on and have these incredibly successful businesses doing both of them. And I said, whoa, hold on. You have got to pick one of these. Because there is no way you're going to... I believe you can be successful at one thing and systematize it and then do something else, but you cannot try to run two big, incredibly successful businesses at one time. Like, it's just impossible. And as she's done that, she let go of one. It was incredibly hard. She said no to the real estate. I said, look, you're already successful at the other thing she's doing is real estate too. I don't know if she wants me to disclose what she's doing, but anyway, but it's not like flipping or wholesaling. And as she's done that, I mean, it's amazing. I said, you're already good at this. Let's just improve it. It's amazing. Like, I think in no time she'll be the multiple 6 figures and hopefully within a couple of years, a 7-figure income just because she was able to do less. Isn't that interesting? She did less and she's going to make more.
Yeah. Well, there's an old saying that saying no really it could be redefined as saying yes, I'm already committed to something else. And I think that's one of the real difficult things we have in today's world because we live in this very abundant world now. And for all history of human beings on Earth, we've lived in a scarce world. It only became abundant recently in the span of history. And so now the hard part is turning things down.
Yeah.
And the hard part, and if you, oh my gosh, I turn down so many deals. Yep. I cannot believe that calls and emails I get, I just can't even answer them all, really, yeah, of people pitching me on this deal and that deal and, you know, this real estate market and that market. And, oh, hey, you know, put me on your show and I'll tell your investors about this. And my job, my obligation to my audience is to be really picky for them.
Yep, I totally agree.
To not just, I got to tell you, in our industry, listeners, be careful of this, because there are all these RIA clubs, real estate investment clubs, and all of these different groups out there who just literally, they have no philosophy whatsoever. They just, anyone who wants to come in and pitch at the meeting or on the podcast or whatever, you know, the podcast is just a virtual meeting, basically, mm-hmm, as long as they give up half of the fees, the person with the audience will just let them do it. And it's like, yeah, you know, this month it's this flavor of the month, and next month it's the other flavor of the month. You're never going to get anywhere with that idea.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be moving, even if the ideas work and they're good, you're going to be changing your focus all the time. It just doesn't work.
It's interesting because we have two guys that are doing totally different business models, and you have your philosophies and I have mine. But the bottom line is we're both making a lot of money and we're helping a lot of people because we're focused. You know, if we were both trying to do what the other person was doing to the extent the other person was doing, you would think it'd be twice as much, but it doesn't work like that. It would be nowhere, essentially. So
right, yeah. I think it was some Russian person said, to follow without halt one aim, that is the secret to success. And that reminds me of another point I just like to talk about with our listeners before, as we wrap it up. But the concept, and I'm sure you have this too with your students, I know I do, of whenever they experience problems, whenever they have some bumps in the road, they just want to give up. And you've got to persist. In real estate, unlike stocks, you're going to feel the bumps in the road because you're a direct investor. Whether you're flipping or a buy and hold investor, when you have a problem with a tenant or a problem with a contractor, you're going to feel that. And one of the big things we've got to do is we've got to control our emotions.
Yes.
And mellow them. Yep. And keep the big picture in mind, because those are really just little bumps in the road. You know,
the more even kill you can become, and it takes practice, it takes time. You kind of, you, after a while, I just wake up every day knowing that there's going to be some problem that comes up today.
Yeah.
And literally my assistant on a regular basis will call me and say with some kind of news that either cost me or made me either $10, $20, $30,000 on a regular basis. Sometimes it's up to $100,000 that we made or lost, right? And that can destroy someone. And if you let it, then you're never going to be able to move forward. You're going to be paralyzed. You're going to quit. You're going to give up. You've got to, like you said, I forget exactly the word you used, but minimize those emotions or it'll, right, it'll wreck you. It'll wreck you.
Well, just mellow them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mellow them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. That's a big key. Well, hey, give out your website.
Oh, houseflippinghq.com. And you have like 20, right?
Well, I got a bunch of different websites for each show, but we're actually consolidating
millionaire.com, depending on if it's real estate, flipping, house flipping HQ, Aim at a Millionaire is just more business overall, mindset,
business
internet
stuff. Good stuff. And mine is jasonhartman.com for real estate. And then for my media company, which is part of my business model, hartmanmedia.com. So jasonhartman.com or hartmanmedia.com. Do you use Twitter, Justin?
I have a Twitter account, but I'm actually not that techie, even though I have an online business.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. So I don't use a lot. You can find me on there, but it's more just like my guy sending out whatever he puts out.
So. I keep telling myself I'm really going to learn how to use Twitter. So I've been looking at it a little bit lately over at Jason Hartman ROI. But yeah, okay, I got to become better at Twitter. You know, it's only like 8 years after the fact or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then you have all these other social medias too. Sometimes I'm just like,
I know. Ah. It's too much.
One thing at a time. That's what business is. One building, small building block at a time. And don't get overwhelmed. Just do like a couple things well and then keep pushing forward.
Put that next brick into place and then tomorrow put another brick in place and eventually you'll have a castle, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, hey, this has been an interesting chat. Kind of an unusual format for the show, but I did it once before with another friend of ours. So thanks for being on, Justin.
Yeah, thank you for being on too. I'm sure I'll see you in a couple weeks at some mastermind meeting we have going on. I know there's a couple coming up. So
we may just do that. And happy investing to everybody.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
You know, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Penny, because Jason actually has a 3-book set on creating wealth that comes with 60 digital download audios.
Yes, Jason has that unique ability to make you understand investing the way it should be. It's a world where anything less than 26% annual return is disappointing.
I love how he actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I also like how he teaches you to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered at a savings of $94.
That's right. And to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series, complete with over 60 hours of audio and 3 books, just go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.